We're going to learn a few interesting things tonight, Mitzvah Hashem, from the Shvivei Lev, page Resh Chaf Dalid. There's so many interesting things here that I was looking around today to find something really good. We're going to hopefully do one or two really interesting pieces. The one is a very famous piece from the Shvivei Lev, from the Rebbe Elie Lapian, on a pasuk that says, "Vayavid Yaakov beRachel shavashanim." Yaakov worked for Rachel for 7 years. Vayiu beEinav kayam machadim vavasai aisa, and it was in his eyes like very few days, because he loved her so much. He loved Rachel so much that 7 years seemed like nothing at all. And the question that all the mefarshim ask is that lechayra imadam ayev eza davar mevakesh lasigai hare ader abakal yaim etzlei lishana yechashe v'kan nemar hepech. Normally, if a person really loves something and he's like he wants it so badly, it seems like time just stops. If you're looking forward to you want to go to Eretz Yisrael, and you're really, really excited to go to Eretz Yisrael, but it's like a month away. It doesn't seem like, oh, it's just a few minutes. I was so excited. No, it seems like 10 years, because every minute of the day, you can't wait to go. If you're going to get married, Mitzvah Hashem, so you have a whole 2-3 months maybe of an engagement, and you're counting down the days, but I don't think anyone says if they're excited to get married that it goes fast. It's painfully slow. Why over here by Yaakov Avinu does these 7 years seem to fly by? Because he loves her. It doesn't seem to be the way things work, at least not in our world. So Rabbi Elia says as follows, Achim b'nei ha'adam misalfim b'derach klal esa emes, v'kayrim har b'dvarim b'shemes mizuyafim. A lot of times people call things by names that are mezuyaf, like they sort of corrupt a word and they use it for a different type of meaning, but it's not really the actual meaning. We borrow terms, but we stole those terms. The meaning was sort of expunged from the term, and now we're just using it as something else. Lamashal, Aimrim al Plaini Shu Ayev Dagim. You say about somebody that he loves fish. He loves fish. What does it mean he loves fish? You say, do you like fish? Oh, I love fish. I'm crazy about fish. Really? So what do you do? You love fish. What are you doing to the fish? That you love that fish so much. First of all, you cut it up. You clean it out. You take out. When I was young, I lived in Long Beach, and I used to go fishing all the time. I was like always by the dock. Fishing, and I was pretty good at it, and I went on boats and I did fishing, and then I cleaned the fish before I brought it home to my mother to cook. I had to clean it, and cleaning fish is not as fun as catching fish. Cleaning fish, you got a special knife, you got to gut the fish, you got to take the gills out, you got to cut the head off, you got to clean the bones off of it. It's really, really gross, but you cut it up, Vitzelis, and then you roast it, ubaylon, and you swallow it. Don't say you love fish. You don't love. Is that what you do to people that you love? You grill them, you cut them up, you debone them, you dismember them. Like, that's not a normal way of loving something. Elamai, you don't love fish. That's just a figure of speech. What you really love is yourself. You love yourself, and you like the way that fish tastes to you, so you just say, I love fish. You don't love fish. It's not the fish that you love. It's yourself that you love. So it's just a bad usage of the terminology. Aval Torah HaKadosha, Torah's Emes. When we speak about our Torah, Torah is not fake. Torah is not, just whatever the slang is, we'll use it. Whatever the Torah uses as its vocabulary is the truest vocabulary. It's the truest form of meaning. I'll get like Lamashal, Reb Tzadik HaKain has a very important yisayid that he brings, that the first time that anything appears in the Torah, that's where you'll find what it's really supposed to be. So the first time that that R appears in the Torah, That's the quintessential R. You could learn anything that you need to know about R from that very first time. The first time that it says anything in the Torah, that's when you really have to take out your magnifying glass and examine it and explore it and drill very deep into that, because that's where you're going to be able to understand the truth. That's the way the Torah is. The Torah is giving us millions and millions of truthful lessons. The Torah doesn't play games with words. The Torah doesn't say, oh, he loves her, and he really means he loves himself. It's not what when Hashem says he loves, that Yaakov loved Rachel, he means that he really loved Rachel. He didn't love himself. It wasn't anything to do with him. He loved Rachel for who she was. Rak mipnei ma'alaisav umidaisav hatayvish, he saw her goodness, he saw her midas. When we say that we love something, it doesn't mean that we love that thing. We love ourselves, and we love, you know, the feeling that we get from being in love. If you find somebody that you love, a lot of times it's not necessarily that you love that person with all of their wonderful milas independent of yourself. It's about you, and that's normal. It's not. I'm not saying this is chazer trev. That's just the way we are. We're not the Torah. But if you want to know what it really means to love somebody or something, it doesn't mean like we love fish and then we go and swallow it. It means that we love the thing itself, not ourselves. Even if we wouldn't exist, we would still have that love for that thing. Rachel was so perfect in Yaakov's eyes that he loved her. And that was the real type of love. When no cloud, no dust of personal self-love is involved, Bavas Chaveray, Az Be'emes Nepach Mida Savlanusay Shala Ayev, Lies Kalam Etzle Shanim Kiyamim. When that happens, when a person really doesn't have any skin in the game personally, so then time will fly by. The reason why time doesn't fly by when I really, you know, I'm looking forward, let's say, to getting married. I'm getting married in 3 months. I can't, every second on my watch is so slow. Why is it taking so long? What's the answer? The answer is that you might love the girl, but you also love yourself. And when you're looking forward to the chasna, not just you're looking forward to spending the rest of your life with this girl, you're looking forward to the way you feel. You're looking forward to the way that by your chasna, you're going to be the king and everybody's going to be there for you and you're going to be dancing in the middle and you're going to have the kavod and being under the chuppah and the cameras and the lights and then being, you know, and having a wife and all. But there's a lot of zich, there's a lot of ourselves in that equation. And when there's ourselves in the equation, it creates a pirud. It's not really a genuine love. And so that's slow because I want my own pleasure. So then I have to wait for that pleasure to come. That's a hard thing to do. But if I could purely just be focused on the ava of that person and without any me, so then I could actually look forward to something and it won't be that slow because I'm doing it total lishma. V'zeo v'ayiyu be'inav kayam machadim ba'avasa aysa daika. He loved her literally. It doesn't mean that he loved himself. He loved both of them. He loved her. And when you love something independent of yourself, then it's a different type of love. It's a different type of love. Rav Aaron Cutler says a very similar idea on this very vart, but he uses I'm not sure if he says it or Pinkus says it in his trying to explain the aside of Rav Aaron. He basically says that when a person, let's say I would tell you that in a month from now, you're going to, I'll give you $1 million. Okay? So then,
you transported back 12 years instantly.
Yeah.
Okay. I feel bad. No, we just came, we spent some time upstairs.
Thank you for coming. Yeah, thank you. I'll see you Thursday night. Will you leave with his chasna?
Oh, yeah, I'll see you Thursday night.
It's Hashem.
You guys are very lucky to be in the
room. Shkayach, thank you for dropping by.
What are you learning right now?
Shvivei Lev, Rebellion Lapien. Okay, great seeing you guys. Thanks for coming by. So, old Talmidim. So he says like this, when a person, let's say I say in 1 month's time, I'll give you $1 million, okay? So then, is the month going to go by slow or fast? Going to go by very slow, because I want that $1 million every day. When is it going to be a month? When is it going to be a month? Okay? Now let's say another scenario. If a person says, I'll give you $1 million over 30 days in a month, but I'm not giving it to you at the end, but every day that goes by, you come to me, and I give you, what's $1 million divided by 30? What, $33,000? Yeah. Give or take, right? Every day I'll give you $33,000 cash, okay? You come to me, I'll give you $33,000, and after a month you get $1 million. That's going to be the fastest month of your life, because every day you get a quick fix every single day. It's geschmack. I don't have to wait for anything, because every day something is happening. So Rav Aaron says a little bit different than Rav Elia Lapian, but he says a similar insight that when Yaakov Avinu was waiting for Rachel, he wasn't like waiting for the payoff, you know, when I marry Rachel, it's going to be amazing. Every day that Yaakov Avinu was waiting for, all those 7 years, he was preparing himself, building himself up to be able to create Klal Yisrael. He understood that he wasn't just making a regular house. He was making Klal Yisrael, and he needed to work on himself. He needed to work on his midas. He needed to work on his everything that it takes. His kedusha, his tara, his machshava, his whatever. Everything that, who knows what what Yaakov Avinu was going through during those 7 years. But he was building himself up day by day. Every day there was a $33,000 payment, and so it goes by very quickly because he's doing something. He's not just waiting around. He's not just waiting around and, you know, for something to happen. When we do something, then time goes much quicker because we feel like we're accomplishing something. It's very important in life, that every single day we do something towards a goal. If we don't have goals that we're setting for ourselves in life, then life is, first of all, not as meaningful. And also, it goes by very slow, and you're like, you know, there are people that are very bored in life. That's like the worst thing to say. When I hear somebody saying, ugh, I'm so bored, or if I come home and my kids are telling me they're bored, I get very upset. What does it mean you're bored? How could you be bored? You have to be busy with something. A Yid has to always have something that he's busy with, that he's building for himself, that he's a project, a plan, an organization, a dream, something that you're doing. If you're not doing anything, you're just like waiting is not a good thing. Waiting is a terrible thing. A person has to do something. You always have to have something, a little plan that you're going to be working on that you want to do for yourself, but building, it might be physically, it might be, you know, every day I'm going to work out in the gym. That's great. It means that you have a plan. It means that you get up in the morning with a certain plan to do something. You want to finish Maseches Kedushin, you want to do Daf Yomi. That's the beauty of Daf Yomi. Daf Yomi is something that every single day I'm doing a Daf Gemara. That's the appeal of it. It's not like, you know, doesn't matter like, you know, which mesechta it is. Every single day I'm doing a daf. And so you feel like there's like, what do you call those things? Like the chemical, is it endorphin? Is it endorphin? Something kicks.
Dopamine.
What? Dopamine maybe. There's some chemical that kicks in that you get like excited about something. And that's like, that's when you have something to do. Like the best thing to do is like when you, let's say you have a lot of stuff to do today, tomorrow. Okay, so what do? You just like, it's hard to like, I have so many things to do. I have to, you know, I have to study for this test. I have to, I have to go shopping for this. I got to fix my, have to drop off something at the UPS store. I have to do, you know, there's a whole bunch of things. And I'm like, ugh, I'm not in the mood. You know what the eight says? Take out a piece of paper and a pen and you write down a list, things to do on Wednesday. And you just make a list. One, I have to go to UPS to it. Two, I got to study for this and this test. Three, I got to, you know, call my grandmother. Four, I got to get ready for Shabbos. I have to buy a new tie. I have to, whatever it is, make a list as long as it is. And then tomorrow morning after davening, you just go and you set out to check off or to cross off everything from the list. And when you cross off things on the list, something inside of you is like, this is good. And now I'm excited because I'm getting something done. A person always has to have a feeling that they're accomplishing something. If you have just days to fill, it might be, you know, if you're going for careers, that's great. You know, I'm studying for the DATS, I'm studying for the CPA, I'm studying for, you know, I want to get into this graduate program. That's great. That's a plan. In learning, you should always have plans in learning, what you want to do, what you want to write, what you want to accomplish. And then, but even the small things in life, every little thing, whether it's working on your losing weight, whether it's working out, whether it's trying to stop yourself from speaking Lashon Hara, if you're working on something, there are certain things inside of you, there's chemicals inside of you, it gets you up in the morning. When I hear that a guy is like missing davening every day, I'm not upset about the fact that he's missing. I'm not God. That's between him and God, really. It's not like mine. For me to like mechanically, you know, make him come to davening, that's not, you know, at this age, it's not so benim. It's not shayach. It's not going to accomplish anything. What bothers me, what worries me when I hear somebody not getting up for davening is that they're depressed. That there's something like that's not exciting about their life. And I don't care what time you went to sleep in. I don't care. If I go to sleep at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm still going to be here, you know, hopefully for the daf in the morning at 7 a.m. or 7:05. Because I want to be here. If I'm not getting up in the morning, it's not just because I'm tired. There's more to it. It means that I don't have any rutzen to do stuff today. It means like I'm just like, I don't care. Like I'm just going to sleep in. I'm going to sleep late. That's a problem. It's a problem because it's not a proper, normal, healthy way for a young person, a young Jewish person, I should say, to live. It might be that that's how Gayim do it every day, you know, whenever they don't have school or whatever, they just sleep the whole day. But if a young Yid, if a young Ben Taira is doing that, it's like a major red flag. Because I'm not talking about, you know, psychologically, and we have to worry about like depression, you know, clinical depression. I'm talking about just the hashkafa that a person is not fired up to wake up in the morning and to accomplish great things and to set goals for themselves. There's something that's wrong about that. Because this is what we're talking about. Every single day of our life needs to be busy with something like that 33,000. I need a payoff every single day of my life. And if you don't have one, then make one for yourself. You might not say, good, it's a great idea. I just don't know. Tell me what I should do. No, whatever it is that you need to do in your life, then you should do it now. If you feel like you want to, anything, if you want to, you know, get smarter in a certain type of field, you want to try to master, I don't know, whatever it is that you want to master. You want to master sales. You want to learn how to make tefillin. You want to learn how to be a cipher. You want to learn how to be a shaykhid, a mayil. Whatever it is that does it for you, you know, outside of the sidrei yeshiva, then do it. You want to join Atzal. You want to join Chaver. You want to, whatever it is that you want to do, set out for yourself a goal and you'll do it. You're so young. Like, you don't, like, if at my age, I should still be able to do new things. But at your age, you should be like absorbing as much information and interests and hobbies and as you can. Because this is the time to do it. This is when you're filling up your gas tank to figure out what you want to do the rest of your life. And even, I'm not even talking professionally, that's for sure. It's also a problem that a lot of people don't know really what they want to do. And so, you know, they just go from one semester to another. They never declare their major. They're just like, or they do some very shvacha major just to get through school, but they don't really have a plan. It's kedai to sit down with a guidance counselor, with one of the deans or something, and try to hone in on what is the best thing for you to do. And, you know, it might not be something that we even offer here. But then figure out a way to do that also. There was once a guy in yeshiva, many years ago, many, many years ago, before those guys were here, way before those guys were here, there's a guy in yeshiva, and he came to me one night seder, and he said to me, Rebbe, the things that they're offering, the majors, the yeshivish majors that they're offering here, they're not for me. I said, what, you don't want to be a accountant? I don't want to be an accountant. I don't want to be a computer guy. I don't want to be a doctor. I don't want to be a dentist. I don't want to be a lawyer, a psychologist. I'm not interested in it. So I said, what are you interested in? So he says, honestly, my dream is I want to be an architect. It's all I ever wanted to be in life. I just want to be an architect, but they don't offer it here. And, you know, I want to be in yeshiva or whatever. So I said, if you want to be an architect, then you're going to be an architect. And we did some research. He figured it out. He was able to do a little, you know, get as many courses done here. And then he went to a very good architect program. Today, he's one of the biggest architects in the five towns. He makes, and Great Neck, I think, he makes like these huge mini mansions for wealthy people. But he's doing very well. He has a beautiful family. Everything is going well. And you don't, if something doesn't appeal to you in what we offer here, either, so then we'll figure out. But you got to do something that you're interested in, that you love, that you're passionate about. Mm. Because it's a long life. And you, if you're going to, at your age, you have that luxury of figuring it out and doing something as close to something that you're passionate about as you can find. But once once you get older, let's say you don't know, you don't find it, and then like, you know, or you wanted to do it, but you never did it. So then you're going to wake up at 30, 35, and you're going to like kick yourself. Like, why didn't I do it? Like, what was stopping me from doing it? It was a little extra school. It was too hard. So if you don't know what you're doing, so then you don't know it. But let's say you have a dream to do something. It's kedai to do that. This is like one of those career guidance things, right? So we could have gotten free supper here tonight. But, you know, if a person wants, if you have something, a rutzen to do something, then this is something that I think, in my opinion, you know, you should try to think about at this stage of your life and just do it. And don't think of it. If you want to be a doctor and you feel you can get through the sciences and everything, and it's, then do it. Aye, but it's going to take me 10 years, blah, blah, blah. So I'm going to settle for being a PA, even though I really want to be a doctor, but I'm going to shave 4 years off of the thing, so I'm going to be a PA. That's not a good idea. It's not a good idea. I once spoke to a PA, and person told me that, it's actually a girl, and she told me that she had such charata that she didn't go to medical school. She went to PA school. You worked very hard to be a PA, but she takes orders from these doctors who know half of what she knows. She works double as hard and makes maybe a third of the money that a doctor does. She said, for a couple more, she was very smart. She said, for a couple more years, I could have been a doctor. I think, if I'm not mistaken, she might have gone back to medical school and become a doctor, but, you know, afterwards. But, like, the point is that, you know, if you want to do something, do it. Don't do it halfway. If you want to be a, you know, a lawyer, be a good lawyer. If you want to be a doctor, PA, if you really want to be a doctor. It's not, if you want to be a Talmud Chacham, then be a real Talmud Chacham. But don't settle for mediocrity. Mediocrity is not a way to get through life, l'chatchila. If you happen to try your best and nothing works out, and you have to do mediocre, but okay, so mediocre, so we'll deal with that when it happens. But l'chatchila, at your age, and you're setting out, you're scoping the world out for what you want to do and how you want to do it, do everything in the best possible way. Don't skimp on money, on time, on effort. Just do it full throttle, that in a way that you're so excited about what you're going to do that you're waking up early every morning, getting up for davening, and then you're going to learn, and then everything's mesuder, and and it's vayu bein of kiyam machadim. If you really want to do something, then do it, and the time will fly. You're not going to feel the time because you're so goal-oriented now that time will just move because you really, really feel every day I'm accomplishing something. But if you're just waiting for something to happen, you don't have any clue what that is, but you're hoping that something just like breaks your way, and then life is going to be depressing. It's going to be slow. It's going to be dark. It has to be light. It has to be exciting and full of energy and enthusiasm. And this is something that I think all these Musar Sfarim would agree with, that this is how you have to live your life. You have to live it fully and squeeze out every single moment of every day, and don't think about, but I can't is the Yetzirah. You can. You just have to have the resolve, and you have to just do it. And sometimes a person has gone through a lot of schooling already. And this happens a lot also. And like, you know, they were thinking that they were going to be a computer major, let's say. And then they realized, I don't want to do coding. I hate coding. but they realize that a couple of years too late. So they already have, like, you know, 2 years of coding under their belt, but they don't want to do it. They really wanted to be an accountant, or they really wanted to be, you know, something else. So obviously, you know, everything depends, but it might be kedai, and that people do this sometimes. They just scrap the whole computer thing and they go for what they really wanted to do. And yeah, it's a little extra time, and it's a little, you know, and you spent already the money, but that doesn't mean that you have to, you know, be, you know, destined to live a life that you don't even want to live. Sometimes it's because our parents tell us to do things. Our parents were dentists, and they want us to be dentists. I don't want to be a dentist. But my father, he has a practice for me to go into. So if you don't want to be it, then don't do it. It's your life. Is it easy? Yes. Is it convenient? Yes. But if you don't want to do it, then probably not a great idea to sign up for that. But you have to, you know, your parents, and I tell this to my kids all the time. Sometimes I tell it to them when I'm mad, but, like, you know, I say, like, I've lived my life already. This is what I chose to do. This is my life. You have your life. Whatever you feel you want to do, I'm going to, if you need my help to guide you, I'm here. But, like, don't look at me. Like, do what you want to do. Don't follow in my footsteps just because I did something. I want you to be independent and do things because you want to do it. Because otherwise, you're not living your life. You're just living my life. And what's that good for? So this is something that I hope will give everybody here some food for thought, maybe a little chizuk. But don't, if you're waking up late every morning, not because you're not feeling well, but because you're just like, have no reason, no oomph in the morning to get up, and it's not a physical thing. It's not that you're sick or you have some sort of, you know, medical issue that, you know, that's not what we're talking about, obviously. But if it's just because you have no desire to get up, you know, there's something wrong about this, something very off about that. And you see, it's true. You see in the yeshiva, like, you know, by davening, you know, mincha, we have a pretty packed crowd. Shachar is a shvach. You know, if you throw all the sfaradim from this room into our base matter, it's still shvach. So where is everybody? Where is everybody? Because some of them live in Great Neck, and some of them live here, and they live home, and they daven later. But I think a vast majority are just, they don't have, like, the oomph to get up in the morning. How does that happen? How does a young yeshiva bachur not have oomph to get up? Because the answer is they're not motivated by life itself. They don't understand the importance of squeezing out every single day and having lists and activities and things to look forward to and projects and goals. Because if you have a goal, you're not sleeping in bed until 10 o'clock, and it's just not happening. I don't have the patience. I don't have the time. Somebody's giving me if I show up in the basement, somebody's giving me $33,000. I'm not sleeping in my bed. And this is, you know, this is something I think that's very worth thinking about. And if it's because you're not happy with your major, then please do me a favor and switch your major. Make sure that you're doing something for the rest of your life that, not that somebody told you to do, or that it makes sense to do, or that, you know, that you want to do. That you want to do. I always tell people, I say, what are you doing? I'm going pre-dent. I said, dentistry is like the best on paper. There's nothing better than being a dentist. You can make your own hours. The parnassa is very good. And it's a shtickle covered. And you have a nice office. And yeah, there's only one problem with being a dentist. You have to be a dentist. That's the only problem with you. Other than that, it's a perfect career. It's just, you have to be a dentist. You have to put your mouth, your hands in somebody else's mouth and get drool on your, you know, rolling down your... But if you can do that, it's fine. It's great. Now, there are people that actually enjoy being a dentist. I have very good friends that love it. They would want to do nothing else but it. That's great. But if you don't want to do that, if that's not what you... So even though you're really good in the dats and you did great and you got into a great school and then... You have to want to do the malacha. The malacha is the ikkar. And if you could do the malacha, you're excited, you're pumped, great. But just because it makes sense on paper doesn't always mean that it makes sense for you. So find something that you really want to do with your life. Think about that. And even if you're, you know, as long as it's, obviously it has to be something also that's, that you can make a decent parnasa from. You know, if you want to say, Rabbi, great, I'm doing basket weaving now. You convinced me. You know, so I don't think that that's the best option for you. you know, then we have to rethink that a little bit. But if it's something that's a viable parnasa, and, you know, your parents can get into it, you can get into it, then I think by all means it makes sense at least to explore and to think about it and to try to really be the best at that you could be. And it'll get you up in the morning, you'll feel good about yourself and make these goals, whether it's in Limudei Kodesh or L'Hav Limudei Chol, just have something that you a plan, like this summer. What are you doing this summer? This summer I'm going to do, I have an externship, I have a, you know, I want to, you know, accomplish this, I want to go traveling, I want whatever it is, fine, but just have something to look forward to, like make yourself things that you're actually looking forward to so that you're pumped about life. You're a person that's walking around like raring to go and not a person that's like, it shouldn't look like a nursing home. It should look like, you know, we're young, we're eager, we're doing this, it's great. That's what youth is all about. Youth is about zrizos and about building and experiencing and taking the world in. And if you feel that, yeah, that's me, great. But if you feel, you know, no, then we got to work on you. We got to take out our little toolbox. We got to fix some things. And Mitzvah Hashem, then you'll be perfect. Okay, my son.